pray with me. Father, we thank you that we can come into your house, into your presence, and you have made a way. You have made a way, Father, for us to know you, and you have revealed yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, this morning I pray that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth would be pleasing unto you, and that we would hear your words and that my words would fade. Let you be glorified, Jesus, and receive all the glory for your suffering. Amen. Nice to see you all again. For those that were here last week, you'll recall I started the service with the sermon with a part out of Mark, and this week I'm continuing in a sense with that theme, although the worship seems to have finished my sermon for me. I want to first read that scripture in the title of the sermon is Jesus Calling. Being a bit, John, so I don't know if there's maybe another option. As long as you guys can hear me. I did sound for 10 years, so I know the pressure. John is amazing. But we're trying using our new equipment for the first time today, so have a little grace for us. Jesus is calling is the theme for this morning. Now, we were looking at Mark 3, verse 13 to 15 last week. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Now, last week, I focused on that being appointed to be with Jesus as the first and greatest calling of every Christian. So this week, I actually want to take it a step back a bit, because I was contemplating this scripture again in my time with the Lord this week, and I was struck by the thought, what makes a fisherman like Simon Peter leave everything and follow Jesus? What makes Peter follow Jesus? So I went and read again in Luke. Luke obviously is the historian, the doctor. He likes to do things in his view chronologically in the gospel. So it's a great gospel to read for this kind of information. So this morning I'm going to be taking us on a little bit of a historical journey through almost a chapter of Luke, but it's narrative, so we can read a lot of scripture. Okay, so we're going to see the story of Peter coming to the point of yieldedness, and how the Lord Jesus came into his life and got to that point where Peter then yielded to Jesus. So the story starts in Simon's, I'm going to use the term Simon, we all talk about Peter because we know that's really who he became. Jesus said, I will call you Peter, he gave him a surname. But in this account, it's Simon, so just easier for me this morning. But Simon Peter, we know who he is, right? Okay, so it starts in Simon's town. If we start with Luke chapter 4, verse 31 to 37, then he, that's Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all, and they came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. So the first thing I note here is that Jesus comes and he teaches with authority. That is the first thing that they noticed, the people in Capernaum were, this was different to the other guys that had come to synagogue to teach. And they took note. And then obviously we see Jesus' authority confirmed and in the display of God's power. And it amazed everyone. The power to bring deliverance from the demonic, from oppression. So the first thing I see here in this account is this Jesus coming into Simon's town, into his church, and teaching words of authority and displaying God's power. And the people are amazed. And I would say Simon is amazed. He's sitting there in synagogue because the scene moves immediately to Simon's house after this. So Simon, it seems to me, was most likely either in church or he really heard very quickly what happened at church and made sure Jesus came to his house. But the first thing is Jesus comes and displays his sovereignty in the religious area of Simon's life. Jesus is different to everyone else who has taught him before. And then the scene moves to Simon's house. We continue reading. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. And they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. So Simon and his household, their faith was sufficient to invite Jesus to their home for the purpose of bringing healing to a family member. Now, the beautiful thing here for me is it goes on. Simon's mother-in-law gets healed, and then healing breaks forth in Simon's community. So now it's no longer just Simon's church and Simon's house. The Lord Jesus has broken through into his community. It's in the streets now, right? And for us, there's a side note here. There's a powerful reminder that if we take Jesus home from church into our homes, there will be healing for our homes. The consequence will be healing for our community, because Jesus is not going to just stay in your home. The good news is that good, that you will go out there into your community and there will be healing, right? That one's for free. Remember, we're looking at what makes Simon yield. Okay. But if we can see in Simon's world, his religious world has been shaken, his household has been shaken by Jesus, and his community has been shaken. And you know, here is Simon, but he's still the same Simon. He's had faith, his faith stirred, but he's not yielded yet to the Lord Jesus. He's still a fisherman, still going on with his day to day. So now Luke continues. You know, we put the chapter breaks in. Luke didn't put the chapter break in. So he continues with the beginning of Luke chapter 5, and he goes to another day, a one day. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, now if anyone knows how to pronounce that better than me, there's a little joke in my family about my pronunciation of biblical names, but you get the idea. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now that's a captive audience. You're in the boat with Jesus. Maybe Simon was at synagogue. Maybe he wasn't. He just heard the stories of Jesus' teaching, but now he's in the boat. And the reason why Simon is in the boat is because he didn't catch any fish. Right? So if Simon had caught fish that day, he would be at the market. His boat would still be there. But here's the thing. Jesus knew that morning he's going to get into Simon's boat. Simon's not going to catch any fish, and he's going to have a captive audience in the boat. Right? Sometimes that is the way life is for us as well. What looks like a disaster is actually going to turn out for our salvation. Right? That's what happens for Simon here. You know, he listens to Jesus' teaching, so he's once again hearing Jesus teach with authority. He's hearing words of life that he's never heard from another teacher in synagogue or anywhere else. And obviously, it stirs his faith. He's thinking, maybe Simon's thinking, he's sitting in the boat. Jesus finishes teaching. Okay, I've got to row the boat back in a bit. Jesus is going to heal people now. He's going to do for the others like he's continued to do every time I've heard this. But what Jesus does now is different. Jesus turns his focus to Simon and his need. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 7, we then read what happens. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so full that they began to sink. Now what I want to remind us of here is that fishing was Simon's thing, right? Fishing was where he was confident in his abilities, self-dependent. Nobody needs to teach Simon to fish. He's been doing it. When he responds to Jesus saying, let's go and let down the nets, let's go into deeper water and let down the nets, put out into deep water, he starts by saying, "Master." Now, master is a term that just indicates his respect for Jesus' authority. He's heard Jesus teach. He's seen what Jesus can do. So he's relating to Jesus as master. He has faith in what Jesus can do because he took him into his house. So he's relating to Jesus as master. And his response by saying, basically saying, "I know how fish work. We've worked the way you need to work for fish and we didn't get any. Okay? We worked all night. We didn't catch anything." Now, if Simon didn't have any faith, that would have been the end of the conversation. "Thanks, Jesus. I'm rowing in. Bye. Get off the boat. I'm going to town." But Simon has heard. He has listened to Jesus teach, and he has heard and he has seen in his church, he's seen in his house, he's seen in his community what this Lord Jesus can do. So he goes further and he says, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, that is submitting his experience. His experience was, "My world, I didn't catch fish." And Simon comes and he submits his experience, his reality, to the superior reality of who Jesus is, the authority that Jesus has. And he says, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now that is a response of faith that Jesus is looking for from us as well. You may be experienced in an area. You may know how it works. But don't let your experience determine your relationship with Jesus. Submit your experience to the superior reality that He has authority. He is good. He is faithful. He is worthy of it all. Let that be our response. Thank you, Gerard. We have a believer. And in that response, and seeing through the response, he didn't just use the words, I obviously let down the nets, right? Went out in broad daylight, the nets he just washed, he's with a carpenter in the boat, a lot of this is not making sense to anyone observing from the outside. You know, the other fishermen are like, Simon, there are no fish today, what are you doing? He lets down the nets, okay? Takes the action. And then there's this amazing catch of fish. Now we read further in the next verse. When Simon Peter saw this catch of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Simon had been in his community, he'd been at his house, he had had Jesus come in, he had seen Jesus move, he had seen him move at church, he had had faith to see Jesus heal for others, do for others. But he had not yet yielded to Jesus himself. There's a different term used here to previously, before they let down the nets, he called Jesus Master, and now he says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And I was curious, is this just my translation in the Bible? You know, it just flows better using Master one and Lord another. No, they're actually different words. And the term master, as I referred to earlier, is this acknowledgement of someone's authority. It's respectful to Jesus there. He is authoritative and he's in charge, and I respect him there. He's got this under control. And the term Lord is a different word. It is a word that shows an acknowledgement of absolute ownership. It shows a change in Simon's heart. He has just yielded to Jesus in his life. This is Simon's moment where everything changes. Right? His life is never the same again, and Jesus has become Lord of all. Now, we obviously see in the Gospels how that journey continues for Peter. You know, it's there are a lot of jokes about Peter. But the one thing that we must remember is he always comes back. Right? He's got a heart like David. Keeps coming back to Jesus. He messes up and he comes back. I mean, if Jesus ever rebukes you the way he rebuked Peter, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily come back that quickly. I would like to believe I'm growing, but that's something we see here in Peter. And it's from this moment on that Jesus has become Lord of all to him. Now, Jesus doesn't answer his prayer to depart from him. Jesus does something different. Jesus responds with, "Don't be afraid." Peter has had an encounter personally with the divine. And his response is, he's fearful. And Jesus, the Son of God, first says to him, "Don't be afraid. You're in a good space here. Okay? You're in a safe space here. I am the Son of God." Jesus is not going to deny himself because of Simon's fear. But he says to him, "Do not be afraid." He encourages him. And then he says to him, "From now on, you will fish for people. He doesn't let Simon have the revelation of who he is and then leave him there. Thanks, Simon. Yes, I am Lord. You are sinful. Now that you know, I'm going that way. Right? He says, no. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus is saying to him, what you did for you and your kingdom, you will now do for me and my kingdom. It doesn't even say what they did with the fish, okay? Maybe the people that were taught took the fish home. Someone else did what it says. So this story is not about how many fish and you know, we get so distracted by the sign that Jesus performed. The sign points to Jesus. The signs pointed to Jesus in the Gospels. And it's this distinction we see. He keeps saying, you didn't come to me because of the sign. You came because you had your fill from the bread I multiplied. Right? We need to let the sign point us to Jesus, all of us. The goodness of God in our lives is to point us to him that is good. It's not so that we can just have the goodness for ourselves, right? The fish had their purpose. They had served Jesus' purpose. Simon had gone to catch fish. Jesus had used fish to catch Simon. Now in our lives, we should have that same openness. In everything, Jesus wants to be Lord. Now, I alluded to it earlier. Simon didn't have an easy ride in the Gospels. He gets a bit of flack. But we see his heart here. We see the scripture in John. Now, in John 6, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when Jesus gets a successful crowd going, he usually does something that offends them all and they leave. You know, it's not exactly the model for church building, maybe. But that's what he did. And because he's looking for yielded hearts, he's looking for committed hearts. And so in John 6, he says these things about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And the Jews are freaking out and they say, this is a hard word and who can believe this? And they leave. And then Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And the guy who responds is Simon Peter. And he says, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. That is the response to a difficult teaching, to a difficult word, to a difficult sign in your life when Jesus is working. That is the response of a yielded heart. To whom shall I go, Lord? You have the words of life. I have come to know that you are the Son of God. How does this translate to us here today? So we've looked at what happened in the life of a fisherman that he got to the point that he left everything and followed Jesus. And what does that mean for us today? How do we align our hearts in the same way? We may acknowledge that Jesus is Lord at church. We may even acknowledge him as Lord in our homes. We can see the good things that are happening in our community and celebrate it. But there are parts of our lives where we are not yielding. Now, there are those areas where you are experienced enough, self-sufficient enough, that you know you didn't catch fish today, so you're not going to catch fish today. We have those areas. And I believe every one of us this morning, the Lord is touching on something and He's asking you, let's go deeper. Let's go out deeper and let down the nets. He's looking for that response, that first response of faith that Peter had. Because you say so, I will. Because you say so, I will. Now, the reason, of course, that Jesus wants us to yield to Him in all the areas of our lives is because He came and paid the price to be our Lord, so that He can bring life for us. He is life. He is the light of man. In Him is life. And there is no life outside of Him. You know, I'm reminded in these scriptures, we can put John 10 up and Matthew 11. This is why Jesus wants to be Lord of all in your life. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but He has come that we may have life and have it to the full. In Matthew 11, He says, come to Me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Life and rest is what He's promising us here. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. His yoke is easy because He's done the work for us. It was not because it was easy for Him. His burden is light because He carried our burden, where we didn't have to. So we didn't have to. Now, if that doesn't speak to you, maybe I can share from the mouths of babes. I was talking through this sermon at my house, and my daughter chipped in from the side, and she said, of course we must listen to Jesus. He made everything, so He knows how it works best. Right? Let's respond like a child. Who is this Lord that we yield to? I'm going to read some verses, and I'm not going to teach on them. I want them to minister to you in your seats. Hear the words. You know, the Word of God is alive. Let the words about our Lord minister to you. In Isaiah 53, we read, surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In Colossians, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In Revelation, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." It's like we were singing in worship. He is worthy of it all. This morning, I want us to take a moment in your seats to respond to what the Lord has spoken to us through the worship, through the word that was brought, through the words of God we have read and heard. Respond in your seats. If you came with someone, I'm going to give you a moment. If you feel like you want to pray with them, we're going to take a moment now and respond to what the Lord has said through his word. Father, we thank you that your word is alive. Lord Jesus, we come this morning and we hear you and we see what you did for Simon. We see in your word how you reached at church, at his house, in his community. But that you brought him to that place where he didn't. We had experience. We were self-sufficient. And you asked him to yield that to you. And Father, this morning we ask that you would lead us to see you, to know you, and to surrender when we hold back. Because you are good and you do good. And you are life. And you have come to give us life to the full. If you want to pray with someone about what you heard from the Lord this morning, I will be in the front here with my wife. I'm here to pray with you. You can come after I close the service. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence because of the blood of Jesus and not because of our own works and our own righteousness. And what you are asking of us this morning is to respond to your word, which you have spoken to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to reveal you to us, to this broken world. You have shown us who you are, and you ask us to respond. And Father, as we go from this place, I pray that we would let the seed of yielding to the Lord Jesus, we would let it grow in our hearts, we would let it bear fruit in our lives, so that you can receive the reward for your suffering, Lord Jesus. That there can be healing in our churches, in our homes and in our communities. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.